You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God.
That's Rick Warren. In some of the material, the teaching material, from his newest program called 40 Days of Community. What's the relationship between 40 Days of Community and the very popular, wildly popular, amazingly popular 40 Days of Purpose that many churches have done and redone over the last 3 or 4 years? Well, Rick Warren, of course, is the phenom. He's the sensation. And he is the one who is speaking what many churches are listening to. So what's the latest in 40 Days of Community? Tonight, we're going to be doing a critique and a review of Rick Warren's 40 Days of Community, the latest to hit your congregation on Issues Etc. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. And thanks for tuning us in. Now, you can join this conversation if you're familiar with it or if you just see it on the horizon. If your pastor has announced the 40 Days of Community is coming to your church, join the conversation, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 8th, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can post a question or a comment via email. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest on the program. He received a degree in religious studies and biblical languages from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capo Valley Church in Southern California, and he is author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. And he joins us as we look at Rick Warren's 40 Days of Community. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we talk about 40 Days of Community, what's the relationship between 40 Days of Community and 40 Days of Purpose?
The two go hand in hand, and 40 Days of Community is really kind of part two as Rick Warren is developing this whole purpose-driven theme. And the first book, The Purpose-Driven Life, was about what on earth am I here for? And the 40 Days of Community takes it to the next level and answers the question, what on earth are we here for? Really looking and searching for the concept of the church's role in the world, or the church's purpose in the world.
And very briefly, is there a part three after part one and two?
Yes, there is another one coming out, and I think it has a lot more to do with missions, kind of the church's role then in the world and in reaching out to others. And the emphasis is really on good works.
As you've looked at this and studied this, what are the positives of 40 Days of Community?
Oh, good question. It's not without merit. Actually, Rick Warren is a gifted communicator. And as I was working through the program with our church as we went through it, I actually found the section in there about speaking the truth in love to be probably one of the best described way of dealing with it that I've heard out there. And so from a conflict resolution point of view and speaking the truth in love, I thought Rick had some very positive things to say.
You say that this is really just a great example of the kind of modern popular American evangelical church program. What do you mean by that?
That's a good question, too. As I look across the programs that are coming down the pike and hitting churches, one of the key elements is that it's an emphasis on the law and the things that I have to do. And it kind of follows in the genre of the self-help programs of like an Anthony Robbins or a Stephen Covey. And it's basically this, what do I need to be doing to live out my Christian life? And the emphasis is on my works, my love, and the things that I do to please God. And so this is kind of the latest installment in that series and genre.
All right, now we heard a bit of this before in the open, but here's a fuller cut from the material sent out with 40 Days of Community. This is Rick Warren himself talking about how we really please God.
You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God. He says it takes faith that results in loving others. Religion without love doesn't matter. It's not enough to say, I believe, or even that I know my purpose. What matters is how I love God and how I love other people. That's the great commandment. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I believe will matter.
All right, Chris, what is your concern here?
Rick Warren is actually confusing the biblical doctrines of law and gospel. And what he's doing is he's putting the Christian back under the law. And he's right in saying that law is that love is a commandment that we need to follow. But as the program develops in week one, he asks the question, what matters most? And this is where this quote comes from. It's right there in week one. And he says, the thing that matters the most is that we love. And so, the emphasis is taken off of faith. The emphasis is taken off of what Christ has done for us on the cross and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And now the emphasis is put clearly on me and the things that I have to do to learn how to love God. And that's his emphasis in community. And so what's happened is he's basically blurred law and gospel to the point where now, rather than living a life through the Spirit, I have to do this through my own works and through my own efforts.
When I first heard that cut some months back, I thought he cannot really mean what it sounds like he's saying. Do you think he really means that it takes more than faith to please God? And if not, what do you think he's trying to say?
That's a good question, because I think that Rick actually understands the gospel message. But what happens is that in his way of thinking, and you kind of see this in the first book on the 40 Days of Community, it's this idea that Christ gets us into the kingdom, and now it's really our job to do the rest, to make rewards for ourselves or whatever. It's almost like this initial grace concept. But if you really look at Rick and what he's doing lately, I think he really believes what he's saying, because his emphasis, if you've read any of his latest interviews and heard him lately, he's talking a lot about a second reformation. And his reformation, the emphasis, he wants to put it on deeds and behavior and get away from creeds and what it is that we believe. And so I believe on some real level, he really believes that this is what's important.
Okay, here he is again expanding on the idea just put forth in the last audio cut we heard. Rick Warren from 40 Days of Community on the necessity of love.
Now let me summarize it like this. God says, I can have the eloquence of an orator, the knowledge of a genius, the faith of a miracle worker, the generosity of a philanthropist, and the achievements of a superstar. But if I don't have love in my heart, it's all worth zero. It doesn't count. The only thing that matters to God is, do I love him and do I know how to love other people? All the other stuff is superfluous. The issue is, how well did you love?
Well, when I look at the answer to that question, Chris, I say to myself on a day-to-day basis, I do a terrible job of loving my neighbor. And therefore, as John says, if I don't love my neighbor, I can't claim to love God.
Yeah, and actually you're in good company there. I fail miserably at this myself, too. And in Scripture, when Jesus is asked, what are the greatest commandments, he comes back to loving the Lord your God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the summary of the entire law. But you'll notice here is that if we're going to be saved by the law, then we have to live it perfectly. And what Rick is doing by reemphasizing the law in the sanctified work of the Christian, he's putting it all on me to do it. And so now the question is that does this law keeping actually please God for its own sake? And if it does, how do I know when I've loved God enough? In reality, in my Christian life, in my Christian walk, I have to go to the cross daily and have to avail myself of Christ's forgiveness for my sins, because I do not love God with all my heart as I should, and I do not love my neighbor as myself as I should on a daily basis. And Rick, at this point, is making it sound like my salvation is not dependent upon my faith and trust in Christ, but by how well I love God and how well I love others, which is not the message of the gospel and not the message of the Bible.
With only 30 seconds, I hear this, and I hear not salvation, but probation. I hear, Jesus saved you, that's all fine and good, that's done, you don't have to worry about that, but from now on, the rest is up to you, and some serious doubt being cast upon whether or not God is pleased with me, based pretty much entirely on whether or not I can live up to the perfect demands of the law.
Yeah, that's exactly what I hear as well, and I think that's one of the major downfalls of American evangelical concepts regarding sanctification. It doesn't look at the sanctifying work of the Spirit and God's role through the Holy Spirit in our lives, but it puts it squarely back on our shoulders, which really kind of robs us of the peace that we have with God and makes God now angry at us, and we have to be terrified of him again because we don't love him enough.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. I'm wondering whether Rick Warren would say, no, God's not angry with us, but he's not as pleased as he could be with us. And that is as big a problem, if you ask me, folks, because I can hardly imagine God being more pleased with us than he is because of what his son Jesus Christ did for us. Is this how it works, that Jesus kind of removes God's wrath, but then from that point on, it's up to us to really please God? We're talking about 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Justification in the Scriptures, Old and New Challenges to the Doctrine by Which the Church Stands or Falls, and the Holy Spirit as Giver, Gift, and Gifts are the themes for the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year's symposia begins January 17th and ends January 20th. Now, for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call area code 260-452-2247. The fellowship alone is worth the registration fee, and you can experience the Christ-centered, cross-focused worship life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. It's the 2006 Symposia Series, January the 17th through the 20th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, issuesetc.org or call area code 260-452-2247.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues, Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, I do apologize for the poor quality of our audio this evening. We found out shortly before the broadcast that our regular equipment is not available to us, and so we're using a backup piece of equipment that's not entirely wired correctly, so I know how bad it sounds, and I do apologize. We're working on it, and hopefully we can improve that in the course of tonight's program. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss evil with author and speaker Oz Guinness. Is there such a thing as absolute evil? Where does evil come from? Has the modern world made evil worse? And what do we do to fight evil? Does the existence of evil tell us something about our ultimate beliefs? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues, Etc. with Oz Guinness. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of the month of January, click the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at our homepage, be sure to find out more about a relief agency that is concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. We talked earlier this week with Pastor Matt Harrison, looking and reflecting upon the ongoing need created by the 2004 tsunamis. That was a long time ago, but the need goes on, and LCMS World Relief is there. To find out more about their efforts, just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief by calling toll-free 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused relief for those in need, LCMS World Relief. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before the break, you said that the average person going through 40 Days of Community, if they really take seriously what is said by Rick Warren in this program might wonder whether or not God is still angry with them because their behavior does not match the perfect demands of the law.
Right.
Two questions coming from that. Do you think rather Warren might say, look, it's not that God is wrathful with us, but he's not as pleased as he could be?
I don't see a difference in that. Dr. Rosenblatt, who was one of my mentors, used to say a difference that makes no difference is no difference at all. And so what difference does it make if God is not wrathful with me, but he's only displeased with me? You know, when it comes down to it, if he's going to be displeased with me or wrathful, it's because I'm not keeping his law perfectly. And so then the only solution to that is going to be my keeping the law better. But keeping the law better or doing a better job is not what the law demands. The law demands that I keep it perfectly. So either I'm made pleasing to God because Jesus kept the law perfectly for me, or if I'm under the law still, then I've got a lot of bad karma to work off of because I still do a miserable job of my own good works. They're horrible.
Well, so what's the other alternative I can think of, and I found this in Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose program and in the Purpose Driven Life. He would say, okay, God knows we're not perfect, and he doesn't expect us to be perfect, just to be very, very sincere. Does that count?
Well, how do I know if I'm sincere enough? We're back into the same trap. You know, whether I'm sincere, loving, good, bad, what? How do I know when I'm sincere enough? Is it if I, you know, my daughters are really good at this. They would ask me a question like that. I have one daughter who likes going to Starbucks. And so she says, Daddy, please, 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 please. She's asking very sincerely. But I know she's really sincere when she gives me the Bambi eyes. You know, she bats her eyelashes and goes, oh, please, Daddy. Is that sincere enough to the point where I have to yield and say, yes, we'll go to Starbucks? But see, sincerity is again, one of those things that it's law-based. How do I know I'm sincere? Because in the back of my mind, I could be doing it out of selfish reasons.
Well, Rick Warren has kind of summarized the Christian life in the word love, and he's kind of stuck with 1 Corinthians 13.
Right.
Here he's talking about love being a choice.
Second, the Bible says that love is not just a command, it's a choice. You see, we choose to love, and we choose not to love. But love is a choice. It's part of our behavior. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. In the Message paraphrase, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Circle the word go after in your study guide. It says go after it. What does that mean? That means make a choice. It's intentional. You must decide to become a loving person. You must choose to become a loving person. You must learn to become a loving person, and you must practice becoming a loving person.
Okay, he certainly is earnest in what he's teaching there, but I want to go back to the passage that he quoted. I can't even say he really quoted it. I've looked at the passage. It doesn't say what he says it says.
No, and that's really, in taking this particular quote apart, you have to go back to Bible Basics 101. First and foremost, you've got to interpret Scripture properly. And one of the things I like to tell people is that Christians do a really good job of preferring Supreme Court justices who are strict constructionists. They don't want Supreme Court justices being put on the bench who play fast and loose with the Constitution, because when you play fast and loose with the Constitution, you get rulings like Roe v. Wade, you know, basically saying that a woman has a right to an abortion, and it's in the Constitution, but you can't find it in there. But they don't demand the same thing a lot of times from their own pastors. And we should be really demanding that from our pastors, because you don't want to play fast and loose with God's word. And here in this passage, in him making the point that love is a choice, he quotes 1 Corinthians 14:1 from the Message paraphrase. And again, let me read it from the Message paraphrase. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. And if you were to take that at face value, you'd think, man, I better start loving more because I'm in deep yogurt if I don't. But that's not what that passage says. If you actually get a good translation of Scripture, I like reading the NIV or the NASB, you know, for my own devotions. Here's what it says in the NIV. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And when you read it in a good translation, you realize, wait a second, what's going on here? This is not what Rick is talking about. And one of the things you have to do when you're reading the Bible is you read it in context. The contents of 1 Corinthians 14 begins back at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul goes on to instruct the Corinthian church about the proper use of spiritual gifts in the church. And so by the time we get to chapter 14, he's beginning to tidy up and bring his argument to a conclusion, and he's saying, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It doesn't say anywhere in that passage that you have to go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. That's an all-law statement, but it's not even in Scripture.
That's an awfully big point, and a very earnest point for Warren to make based upon a, I wouldn't even call it a loose paraphrase, of this Bible passage.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, and I've seen stuff like this before. In my younger days, I used to do some cult ministry to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've gone to battle with the Jehovah's Witnesses over one letter, one word. In, you know, when you get to the Gospel of John, the Jehovah's Witnesses have a translation that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." And so you have to sit down and explain to Jehovah's Witnesses how anarthrous pronouns work, so because in order to defend Christ's deity. And, you know, we're talking one word, and you're going to battle over that. And here, you know, we're supposed to be on the same side as Rick Warren. He's a Christian minister. He's ordained in the Southern Baptist Church and has been, you know, and has subscribed to the inerrancy of Scripture, and yet he's quoting Scripture so wildly out of context, using paraphrases that make it say things that aren't even there. You kind of wonder whose side he's on.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren, the follow-up to 40 Days of Purpose and the Purpose-Driven Life. Join us with questions or comments. Our conversation is coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 8th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll take your questions and your comments shortly after this break, and we'll hear a little bit more from Rick Warren and 40 Days of Community. Stay tuned. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy, or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Folks, our Issues Etc. book of the month for January is this is something that we haven't done so much before, and the name connected with it might seem a little odd to you. C.S. Lewis. Now, you wouldn't think about C.S. Lewis treating a subject like education, but think about it for a moment. He was an educator. He was, in fact, an English professor. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called Irrigating Deserts. That's one of Lewis's phrases, by the way. C.S. Lewis on education. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Irrigating Deserts. It's $22.99 by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education, the Issues Etc. book of the month for January. The number again, 1-800-325-3040. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about 40 Days of Community, the follow-up from Rick Warren to 40 Days of Purpose and the Purpose-Driven Life. Chris, we got a couple more cuts from Rick Warren's 40 Days of Community to play. This one, and I found this theme kind of running through it too, this one has to do with how we ought to think exponentially.
As you talk with your group about your outreach project, don't let your thinking get too small. And you'll hear me say it in this week's lesson, that you have to think bigger than yourself. The goal must be greater than the resources at hand. Otherwise, it doesn't require faith. And if you do it on your own, then you don't need God's help. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is most glorified when we trust Him for impossible things, not just the easy things, not just the manageable things, not just the things we think we're ready for, but when we trust Him for things we know are impossible without God's hand.
What's the definition of faith, as far as you can tell, that Warren is operating with here, Chris?
I'm having a tough time getting to that. It sounds a little bit more like what you would see in the word faith movement. The name it and claim it type of thing, where you think big, claim it in Jesus' name, and then it's yours. It's kind of a spin-off of that.
But Warren isn't a word faith teacher.
No, he's not. But what's interesting, I think it's important for your listeners to know is how this all plays into the overall program itself. In the program, if your church goes through the 40 days of community, one of the things that happens in the small group is that each small group is encouraged to do a project. Some kind of a mission project. And this cut actually comes from Rick basically telling people, don't let your mission project be something small. And in it, he actually reveals a little bit of his theology, but it's difficult for me to get a real bead on it because he confuses faith and the nature of faith really badly. And this happens in week two. In week one, we heard that it takes more than faith to please God and that we have to love. And so now we're back into the law. And so week two, we're admonished on this mission project to really go out there and think big and choose something that you don't have the resources for, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so what happens is that now you take these works, this behavior that he's focusing on these deeds instead of creeds, and now you got to make sure that your deeds are really out there. That, you know, there, it's not just something bland and generic, but it's like, you know, it's something that a superhero would do, because it's practically impossible. That means that God can now step in, take over, and make it possible, and you've stepped out in faith, and now that work is pleasing to God. And you can only please God in works that have this exponential type thinking to it.
Again, that theme that we've heard several times already in our review of 40 Days of Community, again, kind of a bell ringing over and over again, love to please God, really, it's not enough to have faith to please God. And here, now that faith has to be something more than just trust in Jesus Christ or trusting the promises of God that he makes in his word. It has to be like, try the impossible, and unless you're doing that, you're not really pleasing God.
Yeah, and it goes back to this idea that somehow the keeping of the law or loving, it pleases God for its own sake. But what we understand from Scripture is that our good works, as weak and poor as they are, don't please God for their own sake, but they're pleasing to God because of our faith. And our faith rests in Christ. And so even as weak and feeble as our good works are, God accepts them because of Christ's righteousness by which he sees us through. And that's not even a theme in Rick's teaching at all.
Oh, I guess since you mentioned that, before we go to this last cut, as you've looked over 40 Days of Community, with all its emphasis on faith and pleasing God, what kind of time does the cross, what Christ did to please God for us in his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, get in 40 Days of Community?
Very little play at all. And the way I described it to people is it was like 40 days without Jesus. And it was definitely a desert experience in that sense.
All right, here's the last cut tonight that we have from 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren. Picking up on the theme of the last one, this has to do with Christians having bigger expectations.
Now, don't just think safety. Think big. Think really big. Expect God to multiply it. Think exponentially. And when the disciples fed the 5,000, the odds were way mind-blowing. It was just counting the men in the crowd. That would be 400 to 1 right there. The numbers were probably a lot higher. The point is, you have to think big. And the goal must be greater than the resources at hand. Otherwise, it's not going to require any faith. And if you don't do it in faith, then it's not something that brings glory to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But God is most glorified when we trust him for the impossible things, not just the easy things and the manageable things.
All right, two things that came out to there, and I want your response here, Chris. First of all, he just briefly mentions the disciples feeding the 5,000.
Right.
And in that context, it sounds like the disciples looked out on the crowd and said, wow, we can't feed this crowd. Let's do it.
Rather than
the way the story really goes.
Yeah, the end result, the way he quotes it, you would think that the disciples just said, okay, let's go ahead and do it, Jesus. No, they were completely baffled by what was going on. Hey, Jesus, all we got is like a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. And Jesus said, bring them to me. He gave thanks. He broke them, and then they distributed them. But, you know, it's the disciples really weren't acting in faith at all. In fact, if anything, they didn't understand what Jesus was about to do, period.
And then the other thing is this thinking exponentially. If you don't try and do something humanly impossible, you're not acting in faith. It has to be beyond your resources.
Right. This is one of the things I've called as 40 days absurdity at this point. And not only is it absurd, but it doesn't really jive with Scripture. So what happens is that in his theology or his doctrine and teaching, if it's not the impossible, then it doesn't please God. Well, okay, if that's the measure by which something is pleasing to God, then if I were a Christian mountain climber, if I really wanted to please God, the way that I should do that would be to attempt to climb Mount Everest wearing only a Speedo and an oxygen tank. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, would, obviously that would take a lot of faith. I mean, does that mean that that's pleasing to God? But actually, the quote, the passage that he's quoting is from Hebrews chapter 11. And in there, Paul, I like to believe, is the one who wrote the book of Hebrews. He explains, you know, what faith was. And by his own standard, by Rick Warren's own standard, the people that are mentioned in Hebrews don't even meet up his own standard. For instance, Abraham, it says, was credited because of his faith because he moved from Haran to Canaan. Well, he had the resources to do it. God gave him two legs. He didn't need to go out and pray for a U-Haul. He put everything in and went. Abraham had the physical body parts necessary to impregnate Sarah. That didn't take a lot of faith. Abraham had the wood and the resources and the knife to offer his son Isaac. And Isaac had the resources to bless Jacob and Esau. Moses' parents had the resources to hide their son from Pharaoh. So what happens is that he's got this idea, he kind of just rips this passage out of context, but then when you go back to the passage itself, it doesn't even play out the way he's described it. What he's basically saying isn't in Scripture.
We're talking with Chris Roseborough about 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren. Chris is an instructor at Capitol Valley Church in Southern California, received a degree in religious studies and biblical languages at Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's January the 8th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Let's go to the phones. First to KFAX and Palo Alto, California, where Rana is listening. Rana, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you. I've never read 40 Days of Purpose or anything by that author, so I'm totally objective, and I'd like to address the point about his love for God. I don't see any red flags with what he said so far, and for this reason, Rick Warren's audience would be made up of believers, and believers would be born again. And in being born again, they would have received God's grace. God's grace would have compelled us to give grace to others. And if you substitute the word love for grace, it coincides with what Rick Warren's point was.
All right, Rana, thank you very much. Chris, how do you respond? First of all, can you substitute the word love for grace the way Rick Warren is talking there? And do you buy that believers couldn't be misled by what's said there?
I think Rana's point is well taken, although I would disagree with her on this point. I understand that Rick Warren's audience is mainly Christians. All the more reason, though, you want to make sure that you are properly teaching law and gospel. And so what happened is that Rick, in the quote, he specifically says it takes more than faith to please God. And his emphasis then is that we then have to love. And so in order to please God, it has to be through our commandment-keeping, how well we love God and how well we love others.
Let's take a break here, Chris. I want to pick up that thought and take more phone calls on the other side of the break. You can read a critique of 40 Days of Community written by our guest in this hour under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. We're talking about 40 Days of Community. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Stay tuned.
The movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe continues to score big at the box office. But what do we know about the author of The Chronicles of Narnia? How did C.S. Lewis's formative years help create this great writer, thinker, and educator? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Irrigating Deserts on our website, issuesetc.org. What can modern education learn from the educational philosophy of C.S. Lewis? How important is it to shape both head and heart? Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education by Dr. Joel Heck. The cost is $22.99. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Irrigating Deserts, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When St. Paul said, "We preach Christ and Him crucified," did he mean that the entire substance of Christian preaching ought to be the forgiveness of sins in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues, Etc. Journal on listening to a sermon. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. This article will give you a simple test to see if your pastor is preaching Christ crucified. 1-800-737-0172. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn has an article on the false Christ being preached in our day, and the Wittenberg Trail feature details how an Eastern Orthodox priest became a Lutheran pastor. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio program, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. There is a place right now that's training pastors to be able to take a critical and biblical eye toward all of the fads that come and go in the church, and even the ones that come and stay in the church, even the ones that have a long string of sequels like 40 Days of Purpose and now 40 Days of Community, so that they can see what these really teach and measure them against the Word of God. If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many of our guests here on Issues Etc. are on the faculty there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Larry Rast and Arthur Jest, Carl Fikencher, they're members of that faculty at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. The toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, or you can find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155. Before we go back to the phones, Chris, just to put a bow on Rana's call before the break, does the fact that Christians love because God first loved us mean that Warren can tell Christians that it takes more than faith to really please God?
Wow, that was an interesting juxtaposition. We love because God first loved us. That means that Christ is the prime mover. In fact, Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if we're going to spur people on to love, really that love is through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and is not really caused by people terrorizing us with the law. In fact, Paul in 1 Timothy 1:8 says, "We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." And so the question comes up is, what is the lawful use of the law? Well, if you're going to preach the law lawfully, it's not going to be to terrorize Christians and to somehow make it sound like we please God through our keeping of the law. That's actually not the good news. In fact, the good news tells us that we are made pleasing before God because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And then now, through that love, because of that grace, because we've been basically have now peace with God, we then can love freely. That love doesn't come through a terrorizing work of the law, but rather through the gospel itself.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, to Matt in Palm Bay, Florida, listening on the internet. Matt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Did I just hear Rick Warren in that last cut say, don't just believe in things that are easy, but believe in the things that are hard? And the first thing that I thought of was, when I compare, which happens a lot to me lately, when I compare myself to the law, to God's law, I find it that I need to hear somebody say, remind me that I'm forgiven. In other words, the law can sometimes make it hard to believe that you're forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing all of this. He's saying, do all of these things, and he's not hearing. I guess he's not hearing what he's saying.
Matt, thank you very much for the call. What do you make of it, Chris?
I think that's I completely agree with Matt. When we look into the perfect mirror of God's law, the reflection that comes back should terrorize us. And even though we're Christians, that should be the case. If you want to know what the normal Christian life looks like, read Romans 7, where Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. And, you know, and you come to grips with the fact that even though we are made righteous in Christ, that we still, in this lifetime, you know, carry a sinful nature that will not really be dealt with until we die and are raised again from the dead at the resurrection.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Talking about 40 Days of Community by Rick Warren with Chris Rosebro tonight on the program. Linda calls from Seattle, and she listens on KGNW. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. And, Chris, thank you so much for all of your insight. I just praise God for what the Holy Spirit has really spoken to you the truth about, because Jesus is the focal point of all eternity, past, present, and future. And if we leave him out and just do this works thing, you're right. I was raised Catholic, and to keep my, quote, faith or salvation by having to do good works terrified me. And I walked away in my senior year because I could not do it, and everyone else around me, to me, was a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Lord finally got a hold of me. I was 26. And I just threw myself on his mercy and said, all right, Jesus, let's do this thing. And it's been because of him that I have life and I have hope. And no matter what the world throws at me, the world, the flesh, and the devil throws at me, the only way I can make anything happen is because of him and his grace to me. Without him, I can do nothing.
Amen.
Period. And if we don't hear Jesus in there, we're missing something, and we really have to pay attention to what's being preached on the pulpits, on the radio, written in the books. Jesus is it.
Linda, thank you very much. Do you see any echoes, as Linda does, between 40 Days of Community and her Roman Catholic past of being told she had to kind of maintain everything on her own?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in my studies through the writings of the Reformation, one of the best, clearest writings you can ever read on the Reformation is the Augsburg Confession and the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. And what's interesting is that I like to tell people that there's really nothing new under the sun. I mean, we learn this from Ecclesiastes. But back in the time of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church was emphasizing love and keeping of the law as they understood it. And as a result of it, they really took Christ's death and resurrection and what he did for us on the cross and really minimized it and basically said that what Christ did won for us initial grace, and now it's up to us to please God. This is really the same type of doctrine that we see the medieval Roman Catholic Church teaching, except for I would say the Catholic Church does a far better job of presenting it in a very holy and sanctified package.
One quick call before we go to our break. Bruce calls from St. Louis, listening on KSIV. Hi, Bruce.
Good evening to you. How's it going?
Very well.
Hey, I just wanted to make the point. I'm starting to be of the opinion that Rick Warren is the apostle of the neo-Orthodox to the neo-evangelicals. It seems like he started off as a follower of Robert Schuller with the seeker-sensitive movement, placing the worship emphasis on man rather than on God. And I think with the new book, that he's continuing on to want us to feel good about ourselves by the amount of works that we do.
Bruce, thank you very much. Our time is short here. Chris, 1 minute to respond, a little bit less, in fact.
I can't say I know exactly the roots. I know he's a Southern Baptist minister. The church I actually teach in is a Southern Baptist-affiliated church. And I know Robert Schuller and where his emphasis is on self-esteem. And basically, I would say to anybody who tries to put the emphasis on our works, Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" And so really the emphasis of all Christian preaching really has to be on what we believe and who we trust in instead of our observation of the law.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's January the 8th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and your email in the next hour as our conversation on 40 Days of Community with Chris Rosebro continues. 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call And we'll be back taking those phone calls right away in the next hour. We'll also be giving away Rod Rosenblatt's booklet called Christ Alone to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour's conversation. The number again, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only hear this next hour on the web. Go to our website. issuesetc.org. Click the Listen Online link, and you'll be able to hear the entire next hour as we continue our conversation on 40 Days of Community with Chris Roseborough. Call during this break. This is a good time to line up. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. What really pleases God? What pleases God, period? And once he is pleased for good. And he is pleased with you. What really pleases God? Is it thinking exponentially, a kind of faith that attempts the impossible? Is it loving your neighbor and loving your God with, well, at the very least, as sincere a heart as you can manage? No. What really pleases God, the only thing that pleases God, period, is what Jesus did for you and for me, sinners. The perfect life of Jesus, lived without sin, that pleases God. That obedience all the way to the suffering, the death of the cross, that really pleases God completely. His rest in the tomb for you and for me, and his resurrection after 3 days, well, that resurrection is a testimony that Jesus, and Jesus alone, what he does, not what you do, really pleases God. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.